Good evening, everyone, to another episode of Vox Podcast. This is again your host, JR.
And this is Marius.
Hey, Marius. This won't be your usual crazy or happy episode for Vox Pop because we are going to discuss a very serious topic today. So perhaps you can tell our audience what are we going to talk about today, Marius.
This is a break from our normal programming sa Vox Podcast because we feel that it's important to discuss what happened today, or rather what was reported today. We've been monitoring what's been happening since morning. It's about the panicky Tarlac shooting, okay? And I'm sure a lot of you, if not all of you, have already watched the video or read about it, or read about what happened, or at least you've seen the pictures. And so far, here's what we know. In Paniki Tarlac, there was this police officer who accosted the family. So apparently, they approached the family, then they got into a heated argument, and this police man was with his daughter. So the daughter is a minor, ano. And then one thing led to the next, and eventually this police officer shot down a man and a woman. Yung babae ay 50 plus years old, and the man was in his mid-20s. So, JR, we live in very dangerous times, obviously. And this is not the first time that the police has done something like this. It's been like this for a long, long time. What are your thoughts?
Well, definitely for me, like you said, isa lang to eh sa madaming na nangyari before. And I guess what makes this somewhat different is, malawak na yung reach ng social media, number one. And then second, it came at probably one of the most should be festive times of the year na malapit na magpasko. So that made it notorious. Or maybe my point din na talagang we're reaching a breaking point na, kasi nga parang sobrang na talaga yung mga nangyayari. So that's my thoughts on it. Although Marisa, I guess we need to remind everyone or tell everyone na yung didiscuss naman natin today, hindi lang siya about the shooting itself. Madami tayong mga, I would say, facets nung nangyari na pag-uusapan today. Specifically, bakit nagkakaroon talaga ng violence sa mga police? Like, what do we think about it? And then, specifically kasi, guys, if you have seen the video, and for those unfortunate enough to see the entire video, may kita natin na may minor de edad dun sa video who also witnessed the violence. So, actually, we want to talk about how that violence also affects yung minor in the video. Kahit na kung ano man yung thoughts mo sa kanya, kung ano man yung opinion mo dun sa minor dun sa video. So, Marius, we have a couple of guests with us today, and probably later, hopefully others can join in. Perhaps you can introduce them.
Okay, so we have with us tonight one of our heads in at the publication, one of our feature heads, Miss Mika Salonoy. Miss Mika Salonoy is currently in Japan right now as a foreign exchange student for the Asia Kakehashi project, and we felt that it would be right for someone to represent the youth sector, kasi we're in our 30s, so we're coming from a different generation, kami ni JR. And we always have to remind people this when we record, kasi obviously there will be a generational divide somewhere sa mga pinag-uusapan namin. So hi Mika, kumusta?
Everything is fine.
Yeah, si Maika, may love life na siya.
So,
he's really fine right now. Yan, kaya happy siya.
Grabe. Pero not happy with the news in the Philippines.
Definitely. Nako, we haven't had good news for a while. And our second guest for tonight's episode would be our editor-in-chief, Miss Maria Cristel Jimenez. Please say hello.
Hello.
Yeah. So very energetic po ang ating dalawang guest. So, mamaya magkakalisthenics tayo. Get warmed up. Okay. So, now I'm just trying to, ano, to bring a bit of joy dun sa very somber na discussion natin. So, nothing about it is, ano eh, you know, it's hard to make sense of what happened. Kahit na parang simple lang naman. You know, the video itself is only a few minutes long. Pero ang daming facets, ang daming dapat pag-usapan. So, the next segment of our podcast tonight would be about the violence in Filipino culture. What do you guys think about this? Let's start with Micah.
Okay, so yung sa violence sa Filipino culture, siguro hindi naman siya yung talagang culture natin. It's mm-hmm. more of a contemporary one.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, yeah, we use violence against our colonizers para mm-hmm. makalaya. Pero as a Filipino, it is like something na hindi naman gagawin lagi ng Pilipino unless na talagang napuno na. Tulad na ng mga ginawa natin dati. Pati na rin during the oppression in martial law times. And I do believe na ang talagang value natin ay yung core values talaga ng Pilipinas. Maka-Diyos, maka-tao, maka-kalikasan, maka-bansa. And there's no thing such as violence in it. Pero at the same time, sa lupang hinirang natin, sa national anthem, may nakalagay na ang mamatay ng dahil sa'yo. So, it's more on the neutral side siguro na yung violence culture. Like, we will really do violence kapag tayo yung naagrabyado. But at the same time, we are more on the humanistic side as a Filipino. We are more known as Filipino in regards of hospitality and such. So, para sa akin, walang poder sa pagiging Pilipina yung pagiging violente.
Well, interesting points, Micah. Okay, like, gathering everything you've said, you know, you mentioned na basically Filipinos should only resort to violence to liberate themselves. Okay, so we can agree na siguro sa panahon ng liberation or revolution talagang may karahasan. But what can you say about yung the kind of violence that we saw today, like, how do you make sense of it?
Oh. Mahirap siyang i-digest. Syempre, as a youth, medyo rigid pa yung utak namin when it comes to those sensitive topic. But as a representative of the youth tonight, hindi yun hadlang para hindi kami makialam. Kasi bata pa lang naman, tinuturo naman na talaga kung ano yung tama at mali. And so, Filipino culture of violence, parang mas nagiging normal na siya given na yung, kung i-digest natin yung reaction ng bata, dun pa lang, like, she didn't blink or something like that. Parang, araw-araw, maski sa media, maski sa television, maski sa movies, nakita natin yung violence. So, it's more of becoming a normal thing to Filipinos na, oh, ganun lang yun, may pinatay. Okay. Like, in my perspective alone, during 2016, nag-start yung extrajudicial killings. And mostly sa community near my school and also in my barangay, may mga ganun ding nangyayari. Pero, is parang dead ba na lang? So, parang nagiging normal na talaga siya. Pero dapat hindi yun maging normal.
Okay. Thank you for that, Micah. We agree na some things are being normalized, you know, that like shadows that are creeping up on society. Na, you know, the way I see it, parang we're in a crowd. Tapos may mga undesirables na dahan-dahang lumalapit. Tapos nagme-melt siya sa crowd. And we don't know what they look like until they do something horrible to us. So, I guess to a big extent, ganun yung nangyayari today. And let's be clear, ano? Yung double murder na nangyari si Paniki Tarlac, it had such a big impact. Kasi it's a spectacle. It's an online spectacle. Yung method of consumption through video, which is instant and, you know, it fulfills, watching the video fulfills several needs sa isang online consumer. It is immediate.
Yeah.
Tapos, merong element ng voyeurism or paninilip na spectator ka kahit hindi ka dapat spectator sa pangyayari.
Like you feel engaged while watching
it. Yeah, so yung engagement mo, people take possession of the event. And you know, the process of the spectacle, it can happen to anyone, to any situation. Nagkataon sa pagkakataong ito, parang we can utilize the spectacle to open up more important matters. Okay. So, thank you, Micah. Ang tanong ko naman doon sa isa nating guest, Kim, sa aming EIC. As someone who is from a military family, what can you say about yung behavior ng mga tao doon sa video? Can you explain to us bakit umaabot sa ganitong sitwasyon? Kasi normally, people would do everything para hindi umabot sa patayan. People would do everything para lang, syempre walang masaktan, no one wants that. Pero sa puntong yun, talagang parang parang unstoppable na trend yung violence. So parang, no matter how you spin the situation, it will happen. So, can you share your thoughts na unfiltered about this?
So, as mentioned nga ni Marius a while ago, I lived in a family kung saan my father is a soldier and things like this is, to be plain honest, is very common. Yung paggamit ng force, pangdarahas, abusive use of power has been there sa house, from household, pati sa community, it's there. And it's actually, while watching the video, a part of me is telling na, oh, it's the same thing that I see in the neighborhood. While the people around me is in the state of shock na nangyayari ito. Ako, admittedly, it's more on the another day in the life of being a daughter of a soldier. And for a long time, it's been bothering me kung how could I process yung situation like this, lalo na na yung upbringing ko is, as I've mentioned in my in my Facebook post at hours ago, is pinamulat sa akin na these things, the necessity of the state to use war and to engage to the people that are against the state as enemies of the state. Alam mo yun, yung parang nakalakihan ko siya na I used to believe that na parang, yeah, anyone who fights, who is against a state, therefore, they deserve every beating that they get and even death. And then, may feeling of detachment, nade-desensitize ka, you just only feel na what matters most at the end of the day is yung the violence has need to stop. And it's getting more and more confusing kasi there's a part na yung violence is also coming from your side of the fence or yun dun sa family mo or yun dun mainly dun nga sa yung sa father mo na mismo. And I want to add then is at this event ang naging mas malinaw sa akin is yung paggamit ng, sorry, I'm a little bit shaky kasi it's too personal sa akin. So yung, so as I was stating nga, yung, naiyak ako. Naba yan?
It's okay, take your time.
Ayan, sige, pasensya. So, medyo nag-i-slow baka kasi nag-flashbacks lahat nung ano eh, yung nung events na I'm trying not to get too much of it at the same time. Ayan nga, it happens. Ano, being in this situation kung saan parang one way or another kailangan ng revolution or paggamit ng ng dahas to get things done or in another term kung sino man ang may access sa sa lakas pandigma such as barrel, tangke at kung ano pa bang mga soldiers, police or kung sino pa man na mga tao eh sila yung may kapangyarihan and in order to get that result then is the people will also use the same force, the reason kung bakit merong the other side of the fence, which is the CPP NPA, and then noon malabo sa akin yung reasons why are they doing this, and then as time passes by, maybe it's about time na nga na it's too much. The use of force ng Estado sa atin has been dragging us down na weight na sobra-sobra. The weight that the third regime has given to us is too much to bear. From the from the time na he initiated the tukhang, the time that he killed politicians, government officials that are against his agenda, the time that he's given so much power to the drug lords and and tayo is laging na isa set aside. It's the image of violence has been lurking to us, and then things like this is actually even it gives us this chilling effect. It reminds us na this regime is talagang sobra na. Tama na. Ayan.
Thanks for sharing that. And I understand this topic hits very close to home. So thanks for your courage for sharing that. Definitely, I actually will have follow-up questions later, especially when we talk about on how you view siguro how violence affects minors, kasi I understand that you underwent all of this being part of a military family, di ba? When you were a child. Pero you touched upon my next question actually, and maybe this question can go to both Mika and then you as well. You mentioned that darating talaga sa point wherein both sides will have to resort to violence, and that's how wars are won. I think even if we don't like violence, kailangan talaga natin tanggapin that it will happen one way or another for a change to happen. But why do you think these police, they resort to this kind of violence? Kasi I understand if we're in the time of war, di ba? When we don't have a choice but to kill or be killed. That's the only time when I feel like violence is actually right or it's actually justified. Pero what happened in Tarlac, it's not something that even I can justify, for instance. So for you guys, why do you think it happened?
First of all, siguro let's touch on the let's discuss siguro po yung feelings. Kasi whether we like it or not, yung nangyayari po talaga is subjective. Pero may touch din po ng social problems. So, yung sa backstory po, di ba nun, is about, talaga may alita na yung dalawang pani. Then, umabot na talaga dun sa parang climatic event na, ayun na nga, nagkagirian na sila. And, I think it's more on the father side siguro, kasi alam naman natin na patriarchal society ang Pilipinas, and siguro alam naman natin na yung mga tatay natin, sila yung dapat na parang iniisip na lagi, ah, kami yung tatay, dapat hindi nakikita ng magulang, ay, hindi nakikita ng anak na ganun sila, na medyo nahihinaan ng loob, something like that. And given na nandun nga sa harap nung tatay, which is yung police, yung anak niya, tapos nakikita ng anak niya na, oh, police yung tatay ko, dapat hindi nyo ginaganto. Syempre, yung action nung tatay, nung nakita niya, nung naisip niya na parang minamaliit siya nung mag-ina, syempre ang magiging instinct niya, papakita niya sa anak niya na matapang siya. And given na may baril siya, he has no choice. Well, actually, meron naman siyang choice whether napatulan o hindi. Pero mas nauna yung galit siguro dahil nga nagkikimkim na yung dalawang panig. Since sobrang lalim din nung buong pangyayari, it got to the point na, ayun, para mapakita lang sa anak niya na either a hero, if it's the sense like that, para lang mapakita dun sa anak niya na matapang ako, tatay mo ko. Ayun, pinatay niya sa harap ng anak niya yung mag-ina. Which is a sad thing, pero that's the reality of how Filipino fathers are like that.
Interesting take, Micah. I think you went to a different direction when you discuss more on patriarchy, and then you inimay mo talaga kasi, diba? Well, I think that analysis works for that particular scenario kasi nga. Okay. Nga, because he's the father, he's a soldier, diba? So I think in that particular scenario, it does make a bit of sense.
I mean, for me po, ano naman yan? Siguro yung mga tatay, hindi naman ganon. Pero yung talagang paternal instinct nila, eh maging hero talaga sa mata ng anak nila. Kasi ako rin naman, I see my father as a hero. He's an OFW and I'm proud of it. Since modern, mga modern bayani rin naman sila. And para sa akin po, I understand the father side as well. Kasi, syempre, hindi naman ganun kadali para sa tatay na maging matapang. Pero, ayun nga, may option naman siya kung magiging protagonist or antagonist siya sa buhay ng anak niya. And the bad thing is that, imbis na magmukha pa rin siyang hero, in the end, siya yung naging masama. Imbis na, kasi di ba sinabi nga nung bata, my father is a policeman. Pero in the end, your father is now the criminal. Which is quite sad.
Mm-hmm. Alright. Well, very interesting take. So, as you can see guys, you know, very well read ang ating mga guests lagi sa podcast. And we really need a lot of heads tonight to make sense of what was happening. So far we have an aerial view na of almost everything we need to talk about talaga tonight. Okay, so now that we have we've talked about much of what we needed to talk about dito sa chain of events, ano? I think it's important to start talking about naman the legitimizing factor. Kasi before something is normalized in society, guys, laging may tinatawag na aparato, right? So, ang aparato, ito yung mga makina na nagpapagalaw sa lipunan. But they're not necessarily mechanical machines, of course. We define an apparatus as a system of moving parts that produces something and maintains something. Oh yeah, yun ang simplified na definition ng apparatus sa lipunan. So, siguro parang crash course tayo. Philippine society, just like any other modern society, is comprised of multiple apparatuses, and there are repressive apparatuses, or those apparatuses that use physical force to make society comply. Okay, so minsan, or madalas pala, even the threat of receiving physical harm or violence is enough to subdue a population. But in the case of what we saw today, we saw a member of the repressive apparatus, or one of the agents of the repressive apparatus in the Philippines, apply violence on an unarmed citizen. So, in order for an apparatus to be legitimate, na, kasi some apparatuses fall out of service, for example, may mga makina na that eventually reach the end of their life and are no longer needed, kasi nag-evolve ang society. So what I'd like to ask is, saan ang gagaling yung kumbaga kill order for police forces to act this way? Of course, what they do and what is presented to the public are always two different things. What is taught in schools is a good example of what the state project is. You know, like how people should relate to the police. But what is done on the ground is always different. So, I guess we can start with Jace. Jace, ikaw naman, what do you think? Ano? What's been causing, I mean, are we seeing a big change o sadyang na-surface lang ito kaya mas maraming attention?
I think it's something that's been ongoing for quite some time. Naman. And it's interesting that you quoted, diba, state apparatuses. The interesting thing here is obviously the police is part of the repressive state apparatus, like you mentioned. But I think what legitimizes itong RSA na to is somewhat an ISA. So, or the counterpart of the RSA, which is the ideological state apparatus. But, so when I say that is people tend to believe nowadays that, you know, that people who go against the government, it's okay to kill them, basically. To tell it outright. And nangyayaring ganung ideology because of the current climate in the government. So I guess to say it straight, if you were to ask me where does the order to kill come from, alam naman natin kung sino yung nagbibigay ng order. Sino nagsasabi na protektahan sila as long as as long as they kill, basically, and it doesn't matter what happens, but he will protect them. So there is that particular ideology na that's coming from the government, and it's being inculcated into the people, especially in this kind of climate in which news is oppressed. So talagang yung source of news natin, it's in danger right now, and people get their information mostly from Facebook that is filled by trolls. So that's why nakatakot din na nakikita mo itong mga tao na dinidefend actually yung police. Udidigay lang, sabi nila, kasi dapat hindi mo nilang inasahan, or dapat natakot ka nilang, you should have just feel for your life, sabi nila ganun. So they're giving legitimacy also to the killings by defending the fact itself. So yeah, those are my thoughts about that. The reason why it's legitimate is because obviously there is power giving them legitimacy. Because they are the ruling class right now, or the political class. And then second, because of severe misinformation, there are a lot of people thinking that this is okay.
Okay. So very, very interesting points, ano? Very enlightening, especially na na-mention mo yung disinformation and power. So we're going to shift over to one of our guests, kay Christelle. Ang question ko kay Christelle ay, can you tell us about what disinformation looks like right now in 2020, on top of all of the fuck up sa epidemic and now this, they're all interconnected. So Jay talked about power legitimizing yung gantong behavior ng mga police, plus the power of disinformation. So like, how does this, paano nagiging cohesive itong mga concepts na to?
masasabi natin na at this time around then the state has utilizes the use of social media to operate a machinery of misinformation, and with that yung peddlers of misinformation, the fake blog sites, the fake journalists, the writers who produce ideas, propagandas, sila yung pinaka numero unong dahilan why misinformation happens. And with misinformation, in order for it to work, is kailangan yung level of trust of the community against the kung sino man yung source of information is either mag-die down or mag-raise up. And for this past few years, we've noticed how the Filipino people has died yung trust na they are having with the media ng Pilipinas. Like, yun nga, the reason kung bakit nag-pursue yung mga the ABS-CBN shutdown, the oppression na nangyari with the Rappler and other sites na in the hands of the questioning public is naapektuhan. And after nung pagkawala ng trust dun sa nangyari doon sa sitwasyon na yon is dun na nagsimula na yung pagproseso ng bagong impormasyon. Syempre kung mali na yung kung sa pananaw ng publiko o sa pananaw ng Pilipino ay hindi na totoo yung pinagmumulan ng katotohanan doon sa side na yon, kanina na sila papanig. So doon nila sinamantala yung pagkakataon na kung saan ang mga Pilipino ay nahati sa paghahanap ng katotohanan. Ginamit nila yung kapangyarihan ng Estado, kapangyarihan ng wika, kung saan yung language is used to utilize or to replicate or to reproduce or manufacture truth. And with that, is until now, apektado tayo nito. The reason kung bakit people think na this is a things like this is a good thing kasi for quite a long time the social after ng mga ganitong situations may mga biglang feel good vibes that the policemen are good, oh the soldiers are good then kasi they're doing it for the people, ganito ganyan. So syempre the public after knowing na ayoko nga no, may ganito na ano, nagda-die out yung supposedly na mistrust and then nagiginig ano siya. Ano, parang it's more on-off na situation. Na if kung sino yung mas nagiging matunog. And despite that we are trying to champion it nga through social media, however, the social media is very superficial eh. As much as we can go trending, ite-trend natin so worldwide or even nationwide yung mga ganitong akab and kung ano mga terms. At the end of the day, we will still meet people. Lakad ka lang ng konti sa outside of your home. You will still encounter people who still believe that these people are still good and the soldiers and the policemen will still do good and yung termino nga doon is separate, isolated case yung mga gantong bagay, and it's bad, it's really really bad.
Okay, so thank you Ate Cristel, and tonight in our podcast andito rin po ang segment head namin si Kuya Brian Trajano. Ay po Kuya.
Ayun guys, so just to give you a brief introduction, no, si Gail is a part of a NGO called Sulong, and then also she's a psychological first aider and she's currently taking up master's of psychology as well sa Southfield. So ayun guys, so here's Gail para join dito sa ating next episode sa Vox Podcast.
Hi.
Hello po.
Hi.
Hello po.
Hi, Miss Gail. Kumusta po?
Kahit na nga lang, Gail. Gail na lang. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. Actually, to be honest, hindi pala fine. Actually, bothered ako. Lalo sa mga balita. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bothered. Or again, sabi nga nila, it's okay not to be okay. So I'm acknowledging that negatively for now. Hi to everyone.
So, Kuya Brian, since we're already discussing about the main topic, which is, yun nga, yung double homicide or murder, double shooting sa Paniki Tarlac. I will ask, since you're an arts bachelor majoring in international studies, do we have similar encounters in our history, either in Philippine history and world history, for example? Kung may similarity ba to sa mga nangyari na noon sa history natin, sa world history specifically?
Siguro mga related lang dyan na alam ko is yung katulad, more on the ideological side eh. Katulad sa Cambodia, and then meron din sa Myanmar yung mga military junta. Yun yung as far sa alam ko na meron talagang mga police at saka military brutality talaga. Tapos meron din naman, saka may mga cases na rin talaga na yung mga extrajudicial killings, pati sa, meron din sa history yung mga isa Nazis, diba, yung mga pinagpapatay yung mga Jews. Yun lang yung masasagot ko for the
ngayong may Eagle's Eye View. We're gonna do very specific, and of course you know that a lot of people are a lot of people are curious about yung reaction ng bata doon sa video. It's disturbing for a lot of people siguro kasi hindi siya typical na response, I guess. So yeah.
Yes. Kasi nakikita natin dito, no, na yung bata, well, from our perspective, as we have seen from the video, na yung bata was not traumatic at that moment. Parang hindi siya na-traumatized mm-hmm. at that moment. Kasi we don't know what happens inside the house eh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kung normal ba yung usapan ng gun, gun use sa kanila. As you can see, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, are the parents both under the police forces?
I'm not sure eh. What we do know is, of course, yung tatay ay police.
But yung father,
mother,
no?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So, I don't know about the mother, but parang nakikita kasi natin dito na pwedeng nagiging normalized yung aspect ng gun threat, no, sa bata. I cannot speak on behalf, but for some reason yung bata din, the way she responded to the situation, no, she was there, and supposed to be, that's a question eh, bakit nandun yung bata at the moment? So we still don't have the full investigation, sinamahan ba niya yung father niya or sinundan niya yung father niya. Pero ang pinaka nakakatakot kasi doon is yung effect sa bata, no, is this normal, is this the first time, is this the second time? Kasi ang pwedeng maging repercussion niyan is madala yung ganong klaseng perspective na manormalize na lang yun na, ah, hindi, kasi ganun talaga kapag police, no? Nakita ko na yan sa father ko, which is it shouldn't be that, it shouldn't happen, diba? Especially na kinitil yung buhay sa harap ng bata. So, there could be some confusion eventually kapag na-realize ng bata na there's something wrong. Pero ngayon, ito yung problem eh. Dahil na-witness niya beforehand, pwedeng magkaroon ng tinatawag na vicarious learning. Yung vicarious learning, ito yung klase ng learning na nakikita mo, hindi mo siya nagawa on yourself, or hindi ikaw mismo gumawa, pero nakikita mo siya na yung somewhat of an authority such as the father, nakikita niya na ginagawa niya yon. So at some point na pwede niya matutunan, and ang nakakatakot dun kasi parang may validation eh, coming from, you know, the parent, the provider. Mm-hmm. So pwedeng mangyari na kung normal lang sa dad ko yon, parang pwede niya madala eh. Maybe not gun control, or may pwedeng sa ibang klaseng behavior, diba? Wag naman sana no sa mga other physical behavior, emotional abuse, things like that, which is very, very scary. That is why lagi nating ingatan yung behavior natin in front of our children. Kahit nga tumanda na yung mga bata, iingatan pa rin natin yung behavior natin as adults. Kasi we do not know the repercussions eh. Hindi pa nga sabi parenting. There could be some genetic factors to it, but a big part of it will be how the child was reared in environment. If you could have the time, you could check the Bobo Doll experiment. I think it's from Albert Bandura, and it talks about vicarious learning experiences. May time pa ba to share about the
Yes, opo.
So the Bobo Doll experiment wanted to know how violence can affect, no, yung vicarious ways of learning can affect one's perspective of violence growing up. So there was this experiment where the children, many children were invited, a number of children pala rather, were invited to watch an adult trying to beat up a Bobo Doll. So a Bobo Doll is like an inflated toy wherein yung pag inano mo siya, pag ni-punch mo or ni-hit mo siya, yung bumabalik.
Yeah.
So yung weight niya nasa ilalim. So probably may air siya sa ibabaw, sa body type niya. But then yung sand niya nandito sa ilalim. So it keeps the balance. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens with the experiment is that the children are made to watch the television. And in the television, there's a recorded video of an adult hitting the Bobo Doll. Just hitting, papanoorin lang. And then what happens next is that the experimenters invited the children into the same room where the Bobo Doll was in. And then there are tools, there are things. Surprisingly, the children, no, dahil nakita nila from the video, they would hit the Bobo Doll as well. So they would also try to hurt. Paano yung ginawa? May hammer, may mga bat and all. And then, yung pinaka nakaka-surprise doon, alarming, was one child, ang kinuha niya yung gun, toy gun, and then tinapat niya doon sa Bobo Doll.
Mm-hmm.
This is very, very alarming. So it means, kahit wala pang actual na experience talaga yung bata, but by just looking at it, nagkaroon na siya ng sinatawag na vicarious learning.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi nag-validate yun dahil sa nakikita niya from his or her surroundings, yung mga adults niya, lalo na yung mga parents. So, magkakaroon talaga siya ng very, very critical effect sa mga children. No, yung kung paano nila nakita yung parents nila. And at that situation, to relieve to rescue the child needs to be put in you know, dapat siyang mabigyan ng first aid, psychological first aid, whatever happens, ganyan, paano niya i-process yun. Kasi eventually, pag hindi siya na-process in the long run, pwede nga magkaroon ng tinatawag natin na repression, so pwedeng makip, and then mag-manifest yung behavior in later time na could be detrimental or harmful. And huwag naman sana after, you know, sana may way para magkaroon ng intervention. Siyempre, minor yun.
Well, yeah, I'd have to agree na for the most part, it's not the child's fault na the environment is of a certain mold, ano? And siguro this applies universally to all children, no? Na the circumstances of their upbringing are always the responsibility of the parents or the guardians or kung sino mang charged with the care of the child. So, in this respect, ano, we've been thinking about this a lot the whole day, ma'am. The idea of discernment, or you know, in legal parlance, knowing what is right from wrong, syempre ang basis ito in legal philosophy is, or rather the spirit of it is knowing good from evil, if you'd like to go that far. In your opinion lang po, no? Whether it's a personal take or your professional take, when does a child gain a sense of what is right and what is wrong? Are there okay. indicators? Is there a biological age for this?
Because it also depends on the upbringing and the socioeconomic status, no? Sometimes there are children na they are privileged to know things in life that are right, wrong, which is better from good lang. I'd like to make singit, no, yung tinatawag natin na Kohlberg's theory of moral development. So yung sa Kohlberg's theory of moral development, meron siyang level of right or wrong sa mga bata. Parang may milestone siya. Okay? So hindi ko na ihihimas yan. Wait lang ah. Okay. So, the first muna is parang probably from toddler age to kasi infancy, hindi pa naman talaga sila nakaka-realize it. Pero from toddler age to at least a young full age, they would see na yung morality or what they're doing right or wrong is based on punishment, obedience. If I do this, if I do this right, pag sinabi ni Ma'am yan, may i-reward ako. So, it means it's right. Now, if I do this, this would be wrong. Mapapunish ako. And then, eventually, pagdating doon sa adolescent and adults, so, tapos na sa school age, ito na yung medyo middle school to high school age, they see right or wrong as a form of yung sa law and order. Bawal pumatay dahil yan ang nakalagay sa batas. Bawal magnakaw kasi yan ang ordinansa dito. Bawal mag-jaywalking kasi yan ang nasa rules ng itong syudad na to or nandito sa laws ng ating country. So, these also see it as a way of coordination with other people. Diba? So, for example, sa school, kung mag-iingay ako, mapapunish ako, so dapat mag-coordinate ako, susunod ako. Yan. So it's also a way of interpersonal interaction with one another to conform. And eventually, yung third stage would be yung adulthood na. Yung mga social contract. Ito na yung china-challenge. No? Ito na yung china-challenge yung mga higher or yung mga deeper choices in life. Like if you have a money, what will you be doing with that money that you didn't earn in the first place? Will you be giving it to the poor? Will you be spending it for yourself? So these are yung klase ng right or wrong na it has a deeper or more philosophical rationalization towards it. So, may level din yung tinatawag na right or wrong ng mga bata. Again, it starts sa school age. If I do this, this is tama. If I do that, this is wrong. And then the parents will have to explain, always will have to explain, bakit mali siya, bakit tama siya. Diba? Hindi pwedeng masabi lang na mali siya and then pinalo yung bata and then hindi nalaman ng bata. So, nangyayari, pwedeng nagkakaroon siya ng conditioning. And again, that's another perspective to explain that. Pero yun nga, conditioning kapag yung use of harm was meant to intervene in a situation that is not explained fully or ano ba yung purpose. So, baka na pwede kasing mangyari na yung effect sa bata is yung use of harm was a way to keep the peace. Which is, it shouldn't be that way, di ba? Hindi naman guns ang nag-intervene dapat sa peace. Eh. Ang nag-intervene dapat sa peace is moral principles. Yun.
Yes. Ma'am, follow-up question, sing it before our co-host step in kasi we're actually four in here. Plus our EIC. I'm sure they have a lot of interesting questions kasi you opened up a lot of important points then. My follow-up question to this would be how do we take into account aberrations to the average model of what an acceptable child is or what an acceptable development of a child is? Siguro sa aspect ng moral development. Because there will be exceptions. How do we deal with these exceptions? Do we try to understand where they're coming from? And if so, what do we do with that information if they're not typical?
Okay, so I think that's a very, very complex question.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, let's, no, no, no. I mean, it's okay. A complex question because each child has a different upbringing. We have to look at it from their... A big part of it would be the socioeconomic status. Okay. Di ba nga yung mga hearsay or yung the usual na dahil yung magulang niyan, mga criminal, so pwedeng lumaki yung bata na criminal. Ganon.
We definitely don't want that.
Kasi yes.
Hindi yung tama.
Or pwedeng lumaki nga sa hirap, so pwedeng ang perspective ng tao, matapang na bata yan, palaban. So, for the people, or pwede rin, no? Pinalaki siya sa spoiled. Sa spoiled na environment. And then, pwedeng hindi siya naturuan ng maigi, ganyan. Or, pwede rin na itong batang to, mahina ang loob, hindi rin kaya, tapos, so we have to look at it first at the family, how the family behaves or how the family treats other people. Because it's really hard to understand the child eh, pag ganyang level. So we have to look at the first is yung family, yung second yun nga yung we cannot judge wholly on the socioeconomic status.
Definitely. But
if circumstances will push some behaviors because of the socioeconomic status, then we can try to understand. For example, yung mga bata na nakakapag nakaw, diba? May mga bata na nakakapag pickpocket. And then you look at them from their life experiences, no, or their tinatawag na yung sa ano nila, the style of life. Yan. Ito bang mga to eh pinapakain ng tatlong beses sa isang araw? Ito bang mga to, mga bata na to na pinapalaki sila with parents who were there always, or yung the way their parents disciplined them, how they were things. So, itingnan din yung style of life. So, very complex talaga each child. It's a really hard question, no, to put a final word to it, kasi may mga bata din na lumaki sa hirap pero hindi rin lumaki din sila na they had moral principles and they were good citizens of our country, diba? May mga bata din na lumaki man sila sa they were fed 3 times a day, no, sa well-off yung families, but bakit meron pa rin mga they grew up as criminals or may naging problem sila sa society? So again, the style of life naman yan. So yung mga social factors, and then yung personal naman din na abilities and wishes ng child. Baka may mga insecurities ng child na hindi din niya na face. Yun. So nagmamanifest siya in other behaviors. Yan. We have to look at it in a triad, probably a social perspective, a family perspective, and then a personal perspective, such as yung mga ano niya, inefficient, yung mga pagkukulang niya, insecurities, yan.
Okay, that was a very well thought discussion, ma'am. And kaya lang ano, if you'd indulge just more, ano, kasi ano, we have Mr. Jay-Z Paloma. Sir, do you have ano, a follow-up question for ma'am?
Actually, very informative na yung sinabi ni Gil. But where I'm coming from now kasi is, I'm not sure if you've been reading through comments, pero umaabot na sa point na the child in the video is basically being cyberbullied na online. Like, memes are being made. Madami ng major reactions basically saying na, ay, ganyan. Parang, you know, you're here worshiping your dad and now your dad is criminal. So, a lot of this is maybe speculation. Pero I just want to understand kasi my thinking about this is perhaps, yun nga, there is a lot of learned behavior there. Perhaps yung moral compass niya now will be different when she gets older. So, I want to know, how does that affect a child considering na perhaps yung morality niya now, yung learned behavior niya that she got perhaps from her parents. Then, later on, once na-realize na niya na there is a little bit more to being right and wrong, or she'll get a different moral compass, she'll know more what is right and wrong. How will that affect someone like a child, like a minor, and then when she gets older? And then, if it does affect the person or that child negatively, how can we help, if ever?
Okay, so very good question, no? Kasi ngayon, as I've mentioned earlier, kung yung bata nasa stead ng parents who are also trying to protect their reputation, there could be a confusion, eh. Let's say you have your father na nahuli siya, di ba? Na nag-surrender siya, and now na nung time na yon hindi niya rin maintindihan, eh, kasi parang pinoprotect niya lang yung dad niya. Syempre, ano niya yun, eh, caretaker niya yun, eh. And kung isipin, if you were in her situation, siguro wala pa yung gravity of death, and nandun na siya sa situation na yun, yung bata niya it's my family. Who are you, di ba? Kasi sabi, my father is a policeman. Pero, yun nga, nagkaroon siya ng witness na nag-gun down yung two victims. Magkakaroon siya ng effect. Eventually, no, pwedeng grow, pag-grow up niya, remember si Amalier. Yung definition na Amalier. Di ba nagkaroon din siya ng pagsisisi eventually? Kasi nga yung emotions na nahagal up and then nagsisisi na siya. And then, yung sa cancel culture yung sinasabi niya. So, siya, eventually, pwede yung magkaroon ng confusion sa ano niya, sa style of life. Ano ba talaga yung ginawa ng family ko na tama? Kasi, they were just providing her, di ba? Kung ano yung kailangan niya as them, as or his father as a provider. Kaso, magkakaroon talaga yan ng repercussions. So, kailangan mag-intervene ng isang social worker or probably a therapist to process what happened yung sa situation. It's not impossible, no? We also have to consider ano ba yung values ng family nila. Ang family ba nila is based on, yung values ng family ba nila is based on order, and if it's an order where they normalize hurting to keep the peace, or eventually paglaki ng bata ay hindi na pala yun ano, hindi pala yun tama, no, na dapat pala na naisip din. So it will create again, you can go back to the moral and Kohlberg's theory of moral development. Probably I can send na lang to someone kung ano yun, and then yes, magkakaroon nga siya ng processing. Kailangan ng processing from a therapist from what has happened. But for the meantime, kailangan muna siyang i-de-escalate yung matter by siguro to clean up na lang yung name muna ng father niya. Yun, sumuko muna siya, and the best way or the first step into doing this is if the father will have to admit kung ano yung ginawa niyang mali, and then to explain it to the child. So yun yung sinasabi ko kanina about sa explaining what happening with punishment. And so yung father niya, siya na yung father niya, mawiwitness niya, magkakaroon ng punishment. So bakit nagkaroon ng punishment yung father niya by being arrested? Kasi the father did this. Kailangan ma-process yan sa bata. Otherwise, wag naman sana, no? Pwedeng magkaroon ng grudge yan. Maybe doon sa tao na naka-altercate niya, or wag naman sana sa society. Kasi nga, provider yun, di ba? Yun ang ginawa niya sa tatay ko. Pero hindi niya din naintindihan kung bakit na nagawa ng mali. So yun, kailangan ng processing. But first, de-escalation by having the father clear up his name, surrendering the authorities, and then explaining himself what has happened. He has to admit it fully what has happened. Otherwise, kakaroon ng confusion sa personality ng bata growing up, and yung mga behaviors na hindi magiging okay, wag naman sana. Yun.
We're about to approach the end of our program tonight. Giving the last question for the night, ano? Our youngest host, Micah, can you provide a question?
Okay po. Hi. So, siguro pa yung last question na lang is, since we already talked about dun sa pwedeng gawin para dun sa bata, kasi, ayun nga, traumatized din naman siya. Now, it's for what I represent, the youth. Kasi syempre, nag-uumapay din yung damdamin ng peers ko since, ayun nga, parang naiisip namin na parang wala pa kami din sa panahon na may kaya naman kaming gawin para doon, like this thing, but at the same time, how can we cope up with it given na kami na yung susunod na generation na magtataguyod ng Pilipinas, tapos yung mga notable events na nangyari sa Pilipinas, yun yung nakukuha ng utak namin ngayon. Like, how can we even establish our country at this moment na yung mga notable na naiisip namin ngayon, eh, ganun, yung mga mas bata sa amin ngayon, parang okay lang yung pumatay, or nakita naman ng bata mismo na pumatay yung tatay niya, tapos parang wala lang siyang emotion at all. Parang nakakanindig balahibo lang siya, to the point, like, for my generation, how can we even prevent this in the future? For example, like, kahit naman citizen lang kami na nakita yon, syempre parang it still crawls under his skin na parang ang hirap tanggalin. So, maybe that will be my question.
Mm-hmm. Actually, yung ano pala, okay lang before I answer that question. Yung isang, sino ulit yung nagtanong bago itong question ni ate? Sorry, name mo? JR. Ayan, JR. So, I'd also like to add pala, tayo, or a lot of the netizens, parang nakikita ko kasi sa feed ko na parang may nararamdaman na parang galit sa bata, no? Di daw, parang insensitive yung bata, no, at that time. You have to look at it, the child is a minor pa. So, remember that the child din, yung sa Ateneo, yung bullying, yung parang may sipaan doon sa Ateneo. A lot of the people there, a lot of the people parang na-carried away. Siguro, they kind of felt it na parang, kasi ganyan ang Pinoy, eh, parang may hero complex kaya sa mga teleserye, di ba? Parang we always would side with a martyr, with a bida, ganon. So, parang nadala yung karamihan sa atin sa bully, na nainis tayo. But then, again, we forgot na this was a child na kailangan niya ng guidance, na kailangan niya ng immediate processing, bakit ganyan yung naging behavior niya. So, yun din, we have to look at it at the macro level, not just on a personal level. Kasi minsan nakaka-relate tayo, eh. Parang, baka maybe in a time where we were bullied. So, parang this time, ano tayo, on social media, parang tulong-tulong tayo together, di ba?
Kuyog culture.
Yes, kuyog culture. Kaya yung mga cancel culture na yan. Talagang, the more na mob, yung tinatag na mob psychology, the more you're in a group, parang the more that you are stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Kaya yun ang nangyayari dun sa situation. Makikita ko yun na parang, na yung na-address nga dun sa bata, na gusto ko itang ano, ganyanin, gusto ko itang pakain, ganyan. Kasi parang na-address, parang na-feel nila yung sentiments nung victim, nung martyr, yan. We have to look at it that we are a bigger person. We have to be our own mini psychologist or mini sociologist. Lalo na ngayon that the world is becoming more aware, that there is more knowledge of things na hindi na tayo basta enclosed. So dapat as human beings, we have to look at it at a bigger level and set aside our parang grudges towards the child and look at it in a very as a very sociological or a very critical thinking, higher transcended level of thinking na there's something wrong with how the forces or the authorities or the armed forces are dealing with civilians to keep our peace. So we have to be the bigger picture. So to segue naman to the to your question, no, yung sa mga youth na may awareness na you should feel that's normal. You should feel na parang nakilabutan kayo because meron na kayong awareness. No, that's normal. It's normal to have that feeling. Kasi, you know, then it's wrong. Diba? Remember yung sinasabi ko sa Colbert's moral theory na sa adolescent, diba? You follow the law and things like that. But then you grow older and older, you realize that there's more to your choices. That when you do this, it's gonna be a domino effect after... Is it for the greater good? So, sa mga youth ngayon that are feeling na parang nagagalit and all, keep on to your emotions. Your feelings are valid on this matter because this makes us become more aware that there's something wrong with our society. There's something wrong with how the old ways of the system in our country, it's not right anymore. Kaya nga yung CHR talagang push sila na magkaroon ng awareness. Lalo na in-engage tayo mga youth kasi kung ano yung awareness natin, yan yung magiging awareness natin for the next decades of our lives. Okay. Kung open tayo to realize na hindi pala tama yon, let's hold on to that and let's make that into a positive value. So probably, how can you do it? Practically, you register and then you vote 2022 for the right leaders. I'm not campaigning or anything. What I'm saying is that hold on to that awareness. Your emotions are valid, and then find a connection where you think that your emotions are for the good of other people. So, nagagalit ka kasi a fallen victim, an innocent victim, or this should have been done in a matter. So, yes, you will feel scared. You will feel a bit traumatized, lalo na kumakalat pa rin sa social media yung actual video. So, if you feel like traumatized, the best thing you can do is probably veer away from social media, but also try to connect with people and then you talk about critical points. And then, what are the things that you can do? So, again nga, yung pinaka-critical or it could be pinaka-practical na gagawin is to register and to vote. Kasi, yun nga, yung generation, siguro nga yung generation ko is parang may part pa rin ng dinosaur kuno. Kasi nga, yung pakikami sa palo, sa ano, but you know now, yung iba na rin eh, yung ways na pwede pa rin na magkaroon ng moral principle without the punishment or yung capital punishment na tinatawag or mga hurtful na yan. If you can have a more transcended way of thinking. So, yun lang.
Thank you po. Tsaka, add ko na rin po. Kasi, talaga napansin ko most of my peers talagang since parang kaedaran lang din naman nila yung bata, parang kinukuyog na rin nila, which is a wrong thing kahit pagbalik-balik ta rin. Kasi given na yung bata ay nasa stage pa rin ng development ng utak niya. Syempre, hindi pa ganun ka-mature yung utak niya para ma-process agad-agad or maintindihan kung ano yung nandun. And as someone na mas nakakatanda, even though nasa, nandun tayo sa, parang nandun tayo sa range nung edad na yon, kailangan, we still need to act maturely about it. And at the same time, ibaling na lang natin, wag na natin idamay yung bata about those issues. Wow. Sana maintindihan niyo nung mga ano, mga peers ko.
Yeah. Siyempre, iba-iba kasi yung values ng tao eh. Probably yung values ng tao is para sa kanila hindi naman ganyan ang life na pwede naman daanin sa ganito. Iba naman ang values nila, naman kami sa hirap, na hindi mo maintindihan, kaya you do it the harder way, kaya parang hindi sila natutraumatize. But let's be the bigger picture and let's look at it na yung bata is also a victim of ignorance. You know?
We've had a very fruitful discussion. Thank you, ma'am, sa napakarami mong inputs over the course of the hour. And just to wrap up, ano, a very hard day. It's been hard kasi we've all been trying to process what's happened. Siguro, one of the parting thoughts for tonight, and to quote one of our writers, Victoria Garcia, sabi niya sa isang essay niya, batang republika pa nga ang Pilipinas at isip bata pa ang mga Pilipino. So, much of the change that we want sa Pilipinas involves a certain level of maturity and development at maraming harang sa pag-achieve ng mga pag-advance na ito, either sa culture o sa behavior. We know for a fact behavior and culture agglomeration yan eh, over a long period, and there has to be some stability para umayos yung mga bagay-bagay, pero it's so hard to arrive at those levels of stabilities in a place like the Philippines. So we can only hope with the combined effort of cultural workers and people like si ma'am na tumutulong din through counseling, na we're doing our bit in trying to fix this broken nation, because these events, these images signal at much a larger systemic failure from a sociological perspective. And you know, it's no surprise naman na we do live in a broken nation. So that's my parting thought for tonight, JR.
Not a lot to add, Marius. I think we had a very good discussion using a wide range of disciplines. So we really appreciate Gil coming in today, obviously, to give us insight, you know, on the psychological side of this discussion, especially na I think what really prompted us naman to make this episode is yung how the people are reacting to a minor. Kasi obviously we can always talk all day about, you know, about violence and police brutality and all. Pero what made this episode very different is there's a minor involved, and definitely we need it needs a much more critical eye, especially na I think not a lot of people are seeing this problem, especially on social media. So I'm really glad that I think everyone is aligned naman on that kind of problem, and that we're able to discuss then what kind of solutions we can provide them.
Definitely. And Brian, any parting thoughts to our to our episode tonight?
Ayun, siguro, I know it's no, diba, sa mga nangyari about na dun sa yung bata, nakita na bumabaril ng innocent tao. I guess, I hope talaga sana mawala na yung mga police brutality and likes. Kasi sobrang sakit kasi na ang daming inosente na naapektuhan sa police brutality. So, I hope it will end soon. And then, I hope we will have a better and peaceful country talaga. Yun lang.
Definitely. Yan yung ating I mean, whoever you pray to, that's our prayer, maybe. At the very basic level, we have peace in the country. Anyway, and that wraps up Vox Popcast. A very different episode tonight, peeps. Maraming salamat po sa pakikinig. My name is Marius.
And this is JR. And we are now signing off. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.